Hello guys, welcome to the Black Sea Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day four, not at the US Open, but at the US at the Open,
at the crib.
In Queens.
Lucy.
Oh God.
First and foremost, how are you, man?
I'm okay.
Good.
I need one more sleep to just wake up refreshed again. Basically, guys, I did not go outside. I woke up and I told Eugene, I cannot do it. If you want me to be alive and here and good for the rest of the week, I need today off. I felt really bad. Like, I actually wanted to cry. I was very sad. But at the same time, I did reflect and I realized in the 4 years of us going to tournaments, this is literally the first ever time this has happened, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
And even our comments were full of people saying, get some rest.
Facts.
So I'm glad everyone understands, but yeah, I did. It was me and was it NyQuil, whatever the hell it's called.
I think NyQuil.
I think it's NyQuil.
Yeah, NyQuil. Yeah.
Anyways, it was me and that for that today. And I was sleeping, waking up. I didn't do anything but sleep, hydrate.
You were definitely missed both. I missed having you like by my side.
Eugene sent me a message as soon as it got to the ground. Man, this is not the same.
Didn't feel right, man. Literally every single person that I bumped into, where's Lucy? So, like, yeah, you're really the face of Black Sea Global. I'm just the background guy. Like, let's just be real. But no, it was, like you said, you needed the rest. And I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just know you were definitely missed.
I'll be back tomorrow, guys. I'll be back tomorrow.
But yeah, but we were debating before we started, like, where to start.
Where to start?
I think there's only one place to really start.
I think, yeah, because I know a lot of people, when they see this, they're like, yeah, skip. We don't care about you being sick. Skip. Taylor Townsend, thank you.
Let's just get into that. Let's get into it. Unfortunately, guys, I wasn't actually able to watch the match because I was actually watching Francis Tiafoe versus Martin Dam.
Yeah, because that went into four, which we did not expect. Yeah.
And we did expect the matches to clash.
Yeah, but not to that extent. Yeah.
And obviously too, we didn't know that you weren't gonna be on site today.
Exactly.
So if you were on site, obviously one of us would have been either match.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, as it turned out, I basically stayed to watch the majority of Francis's match. I tried to go and see Taylor Taylor Townsend versus Leon Ostapenko, but it was exactly, it was rammed, literally packed, standing room only. And I did tweet that post it on our socials to show.
Mm.
But as we've always said...
Wait, sorry, is your mic on? Okay, sorry.
So,
sorry.
As we've always said, like, Taylor just draws a crowd, like, no matter what court she's playing on.
And no matter what country as well, by the way. I don't want people to be thinking just because it's the US... Taylor fills in the courts there. Like, even during Wimbledon, every single match of hers, it was packed. Whether it was singles, doubles, mixed doubles, like, she really brings in the fans no matter where she is. It's really not just a US thing.
Facts, well said. But yeah, like, so when I took that picture, actually, she was actually a breakdown in the first set.
Mm.
Can't remember what the score was, but yeah, she was definitely a breakdown. But the crowd, obviously, her being an American too, playing in New York, this is a home Grand Slam.
Mm, mm, mm.
You can see they were into it.
Mm, mm.
And clearly, as things that you all know now, how things kind of transpired. But I was keeping an eye on the score and I was like, damn, okay. She's won the first set 7-5. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
And then the second set, like, she just flew.
Yeah. So I'm not too surprised. Like I said, obviously, I conked out. I fell asleep. I just woke up and I was like, oh, shoot, she won. But as I said, during her first match, it was this mess. The way she was playing her first match, I knew she was going to beat Ostapenko.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She was playing really, because you didn't watch her first, usually I don't think you understand, like, she was playing so well.
Mm.
Like, she was playing so a lot of power, great shot selections. She was moving well. And then obviously you add the fact that she's great at doubles as well. Like, I think because her confidence and also the love from her being there as well, it really just pushed her.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's the US Open, like, and she said it during her press that she wants to become a great singles player. So I knew it was going to be a battle, but I had no doubts with Taylor winning that match.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, none at all. Ostapenko, and like I said, Ostapenko in the meantime, her singles career has not been, like, she's been doing better in doubles and singles the past like season and a half. So I wasn't too surprised of that result. I wish I watched the match. I'll probably watch the highlights later, but yeah, a massive, massive, massive shout out to her. Massive well done. Obviously, I think I woke up literally 20 minutes after the match ended.
Okay.
And I'm just seeing the phone like buzzing. I'm just like, wait, what? What is going on? And I watched the video. They're going back and forth. And Ostapenko was all over Taylor's face. Fingers was all over the face. And you can repeatedly hear her saying, no education, no education, no education.
As in Ostapenko is saying that?
Yeah. So literally, wow. There was another angle of a video of her saying that. While you have literally Taylor saying, you need to learn how to take your L. Like, just take the L. Yeah. Like, you lost. That is what it is. And then she was like, thank you very much. Great match. Goodbye. Like, she was just smiling and she just went off. So, sorry, what were you going to say?
The issue was, Ostapenko took issue with the fact that Taylor didn't apologize for a ball that hit the net and then went over.
And I would like to remind people, that's not a rule. She's out here saying it's a tennis rule. There's nowhere in the rule book that says that you have to literally apologize for that. It's just, is it nice? Is it, you know, like... Whatever, yeah. She doesn't have to.
No, exactly.
Apologize. She doesn't have to say sorry. I even feel like it's a stupid thing that we're even doing it because we're not friends. I'm playing. I have to beat you for me to go to the second round. Right now, even if we're friends, once we're on the court, we are not friends.
Yeah.
I'm here trying to beat you. So for her to make, even if she felt that way, even if she felt like, rah, Taylor did not apologize, even if she felt that way, there's not need for you to result into saying that she has no class, insults, no education, and bringing some microaggression into this.
Hmm.
It's literally, and I'm pretty sure in her entire career, this is not the first time where she's been put in a position where she's had someone that's not apologized. And I'm pretty sure she's never said to a white person, you have no class, you have no education. Hmm. Like, in all honesty, like, the way Ostapenko acted and just because of what Taylor did,
it doesn't correlate.
Like, it makes absolutely zero sense. It makes absolutely none. So that's why I find it funny that now she's back on her IG saying, no, I am not racist, da, 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 da. I'm not even gonna entertain that.
I think it's unfortunate, Lucy. And we should say
it's very unfortunate because I do you know what's mad? I love Ostapenko.
Yeah.
Ostapenko, you were my girl. I was rooting for you. But now let me do that TI.
Stop it.
Take the necklace link from the Atlanta movie.
Was it the heart or the necklace?
There was a necklace.
Oh, because
necklace. It was a very thin necklace, so he just snatches it away. That's exactly what I'm doing to Ostapenko right now. That's bull crap, man.
Because, yeah, the score was 7-5, 6-1. So, like, a bit of a beatdown, really. But the second set was a beatdown. So, like, yeah, I mean, I guess Ostapenko, being the seeded player too, because it's an upset. This is classed as an upset. Townsend is, like, ranked, I think, 139 in the world right now. So, on paper, she should have lost that match. But she didn't. She won.
But it's still
fair and square as well. Yeah, like, exactly. She was the better player.
Exactly.
Ultimately. But honestly, again, because I saw the match point from the desk.
So I
wasn't listening to anything. So when I saw there was like a bit of an altercation, I was like, hang on a minute, what's going on? I tried to put my headphones on, but then I was too late, like, because they kind of cut to whatever they cut to. But then, yeah, hearing what you said about, I think she did an interview with ESPN.
Yeah, at the end, and she explained. And
exactly.
Yeah, and she literally said straight. She told me I have no class.
Crazy.
No education, blah, blah, blah.
And about see you in, like, outside the
US. Yeah, see you outside the US. It's like, bro, people. And the thing is, Ostapenko, yeah, she did the typical thing that a lot of white women tend to do. Where it's like they'll act mad,
yeah,
and they'll think that you sit that here and be quiet. Because a lot of the time when Ostapenko has popped off, the other girls are mad quiet. So I think she was so taken back at Taylor clapping back, rightfully so.
100%.
And that's why she ended up doing the whole microaggression with no class, no education. She kept, and the thing is, you could tell she kept saying to try to get under her skin.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Because she's repeating saying, no education, no education, no education. And Taylor was looking at her like, bro, take your L, man. Like, it is what it is. Take it.
I was so proud of the way Taylor, like, handled that.
No, for real, because if it was me, I would have slapped her.
But I'm saying it showed her class. And, like, the way she spoke about it afterwards in press,
mm-hmm.
because that was literally, so it's funny. Initially, she was scheduled for room 2, which is a smaller room.
And what did I tell you? I've been saying it for time. I hate that this incident had to happen for her to finally have room 1.
Yeah.
Taylor, this is the thing. They need to stop playing with the black players, man. The same way they've been treating Monfils, we're putting him in a small court, court 5, and it was ramped up from 3 p.m. to after. And in the interview room, he was taken all over the space to put him in a small interview room. The same way with Taylor, they put her in a small court. I mean, the good thing is people get to see her. So I get that.
Yeah.
But even in an interview, they packed and they were there for 20 minutes.
Crazy.
So put her in room 1.
Crazy.
It's ridiculous.
She spoke at length, like, and it was just, it was eloquent, considered, like, just very classy.
Mm-hmm.
All of the things that Ostapenko said.
Exactly.
She accused her of being.
Exactly.
Or not being even. And I was like, yeah, good on you, Taylor, man. Like,
exactly.
Just showing her class. Like,
exactly.
It was just great to see.
Yeah. I also think Ostapenko's IG right now.
Crazy.
Thoughts and no prayers. Because I don't know who asked you to be saying that. I don't know who asked you to be saying that. And I think she underestimated how much, like, it's not just a thing of like, yeah, she's home. Bro, the people love Taylor. Yeah. You played with the wrong one. Mm. And one thing about black women, we root for our people, especially the US black woman.
Do you remember
when Kamala announced that she was running for president? They raised 1 million, boom, in 30 minutes. Just a group of random black women together. Can you imagine? That just shows to you how they don't play, man. They really do not play.
Our comments made me laugh as well. Like, gee, like, there was one saying, oh, when...
When are we putting up cousins? Straight to business.
People are ready to ride.
When are we putting up?
I love it.
Let's stop with this chit chat. When are we putting up? Where are we going to Latvia? Wherever she's from. But no, it was extremely, extremely disappointed from Ostapenko. Even if you feel like I am not a racist, just know that is a word. Those two words that you said to her, you've never said it to your white opponents before. You've never probably even said it to anyone who's not actually white.
Mm.
So, yeah, when we are telling you what you did there is wrong because of the language that you use.
Do you know?
And it's just so crazy. Look at this. And it shows to you why it's important to have that US Open theme of celebrating our feet. Because we're celebrating
I was just going
to
say, it was HBCU day today.
HBCU like, day. And
of all days.
Of all days. You couldn't wait an extra day to be racist. Like, I don't understand. Like, but it just shows to you the importance of how much we still need to celebrate us and the importance of even just having us, 100%. Even our platform. Do you get what I mean? Because it's like, you guys are proving making our point right there. The people are wondering why Black Swing Global exists. Well, there you are.
The issue, I took issue with a lot of what Ostapenko said. Of course, the whole uneducated, no class thing, that's low.
Mm.
But Lucy, I also don't like the, like, see you, basically when you're not in the US or when we're not in the US, like, that's threatening. Like,
yeah, that's a very good point.
Like, what are you,
because imagine if Taylor said that to her and it was
like,
the other way around.
What does she mean by that?
Yeah.
So I hope that gets looked into because, yeah, to me, that is...
Imagine if Taylor actually said that. That's actually true.
This is what I'm saying to you. Like, to me, that's a threat. Like, you're basically threatening her. Like, what? And we all know tennis is played mostly in Europe. And we all know Europe in terms of, you know...
Yeah.
But although there aren't that many tournaments... I say there aren't that many tournaments. There are tournaments in Latvia. I think there's at least one.
Well, number one, Ostapenko needs to focus on winning those matches before she talks about other matches. That's number one. Number two, she needs to also keep in mind that it's not because Taylor is at home that she felt confident and she... Because she's making it seem like Taylor only won or only had all of this spin because it was an American. No. Mm. This season, she's been killing it. She's been grinding. She's been doing really well. whether it's singles and doubles. The girl was even injured for a minute. We didn't see her for a minute. She was even emotional about it, and she came back and she's still killing it. So she needs to focus on herself, focus on how to communicate to opponents. And most importantly, as Taylor said, learn how to take your L's.
Crazy.
You know, you're out here talking about no class, no education, but look how you took your L.
Yeah.
Because of a simple sorry that she is literally like, no, she doesn't have to actually like say it. All I'm saying is, unless she cuss you out like crazy, there was no need to be doing all of that, be all up in her face. Because I know for a fact, if Taylor did half of even what Ostapenko did, it would have been World War III. It would have been a fine. The Empire would have calmed down his chair and trying to push her away, make it seem like she's the aggressor. Like, we know how it's going to be. But extremely disappointing, Ostapenko. Ostapenko, I was a fan of
it's
yours.
Tough, yeah. It's not a good look.
I'm sorry, man. Done. I don't even care if Lil Wayne tweets about you.
I think of Lil Wayne, you know, shit. I wonder if he, what he makes of this.
You know, Wayne sometimes has made some questionable things. So Wayne has made some questionable comments before.
Before we get into Taylor's press, the head-to-head now, she now leads the head-to-head. So it's now 2-1 to Taylor. So she did beat her in Toronto, which was their most recent meeting last year.
Mm.
That was a straight sets win.
Mm.
And Taylor also, she kind of misspoke when she said, oh, like, she's beating her.
Yeah, yeah, people try and bring it back up. You guys knew, like, she was heated in a moment.
Come on, man.
At that moment, Taylor had to calm down because, exactly. You know, what she like she said, she's from Chi to Atlanta. She had to bring the tennis Taylor, not Chi-Town Taylor, because exactly. Chi-Town Taylor would have been a whole different ballgame.
I think what she meant by that is the fact that, yeah, she now leads the head-to-head. It's 2-1. So, Ostapenko, do better. Do you get me? But yeah, back to the press. Like I said, it was pretty busy. First question was literally about... the first question was about Althea Gibson.
How much, like, how important representation is.
Yes.
But she did come in and she was like, oh, I know you guys are going to love this. You guys live for this, all right?
Bring and obviously it. She gave a great answer on that, being a black woman in tennis.
Speaking of press, the reason why there was no Ostapenko press because she had no one requested her.
So with the way
way it works, you have to request before the match, like you can't request after the match ends.
Which is mad.
It just shows to you that no one cares about homegirl.
Stop it. But yeah, the Taylor, like I said, she answered every single question like with just so much grace and like humility, and she could have easily kind of sunk down
100%.
To Ostapenko's level and like given,
yeah,
I don't know, given her a piece of her mind basically.
Yeah,
but
she kept it
classy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what, credit, like, hats off to you, man,
for sure.
That must have been tough. She's a lovely person too, like,
yeah, no, Taylor is, and she is
that,
nice.
That's what also was baffling me. I was like, how could another pro like say such a thing to such a
because
decent...
she's black. Like, let's just say it. She's black. Like, let's just say it. End. Next.
The answer we're going to include now is basically Taylor was asked about, well, the insult and like how it kind of maybe would be portrayed
mm-hmm.
in like the black community and like kind of, I guess how she took it. And this is what she said.
So that's a two-part question. First, no, I don't know. I can't speak on what her intentions were. I can only speak on how I handled the situation. And how I handled it is someone who's upset about the outcome that occurred. You lost, and you're upset about that. Saying I have no education and no class, I don't really take that personally because I know that it's so far from the truth and so far from anything. And again, if I allow what other people have to say about me affect me in that way, then they win. So ultimately, no, I stood up for myself and I kept in my mind in that moment how I wanted to portray myself and how I wanted to show up. And if my son were to see this interaction, how would he view it? And I think he would be proud of the way that I handled the situation. I'm very strong. I'm very proud as a Black woman being out here representing myself and representing us in our culture. And I make sure that I do everything that I can to be the best representation possible every time that I step on the court and even off the court. So I can't speak on how she felt about it. That's something that you're going to have to ask her. I didn't take it in that way. But also, you know, that has been a stigma in our community of, you know, being non-educated and all the things when it's the furthest thing from the truth. And the thing that I'm the most proud of is that I let my racket talk. Because ultimately, I'm the one here sitting in front of you guys, moving on to the next round, getting the next check, moving on, being able to still be here and speak to you guys. And that's what's the most important. She's packed up and she's gone. I'm here. And that's the only thing that matters. So whether it had racial undertones or not, that's something that she could speak on. But the only thing that I'm worried about right now is continuing to move forward through this tournament. I know that I'm a fantastic tennis player, and I know that I have a lot of things that I want to accomplish. And this is another stepping stone. It's another brick that I'm laying on my foundation, or on my road to greatness, you know. And so ultimately, you know, whatever it is that it is, I don't take any offense to it, but I'm really proud of the way that I handle myself. And, you know, more than anything, if my son sees that, I know that he'll be proud of me as well. And that's what matters the most.
Absolutely loved her answer.
Shout out to the reporter asking that question, because, you know, honestly, sometimes I personally do feel a bit scared when I ask, when I...
Like race related.
Yeah. I think it's also because I don't want, I mean, there's nothing bad, but I don't want people to be thinking that's just...
It's very cliche.
It's very cliche, exactly. Yeah. And there's a lot of pressure on us. There's really a lot of pressure. I know there's a lot of eyes on us. So it's like, we have to mix it up a bit. But I actually do prefer it when it's other platforms and other people that are asking those questions.
But I also kind of like it when it's, well, other Black reporters as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, exactly.
She kept saying, like, she's representing for us, like, and she's speaking about us in terms of the Black community. And as much as I'm like, the kind of weight of expectation on Black players, because they are the minority, there's added weight.
100%.
Like, and that's not 100%. Fair, but...
And those are the things that Althea Gibson, Arthur Ashe, they both spoke about. Zena Garrison, they all spoke about. They were like, yeah, it's a lot. But what I like about these players, the difference is that back in the days, there was only one of those players. So when Althea Gibson was there, Arthur Ashe wasn't there yet. And then Arthur Ashe came, there's only one of those players. Now, there's a massive group of them within different generation. They're all confident and they have a lot more support and love from like, the people as well, because people are now understanding and seeing, okay, yeah, it's not easy having to do all of that. And it's moments like this, I really wish people like Althea Gibson and Arthur Ashe were here to actually see this, because they couldn't afford to do this.
He said that in his press today. He was like, yeah, like, it's a shame they're not here to see it, but he's like, he knows they're like watching, like proud. That was touching.
100%.
But yeah, no, just massive shout out to Taylor Townsend, man, because she is a class act.
She is. Sorry, and Ostapenko, don't worry. If there's another tournament in Europe, I will get that EasyJet flight and I'm going to go to wherever day you guys are playing against each other, and I will pull up and I'm going to shout and scream.
Strava.
And I won't do it through media, so I can really be a fan. I'll use my own money and I'll be there in person, yeah? It's going to be on site.
That's it.
Shout out Taylor, who will be facing Mira Andreeva next.
Mira Andreeva next, man, yes. The fifth seed.
Yes, that's going to be a big one.
It's going to be very interesting.
Because Mira doesn't have to handle the crowd. Ooh.
And you would think that's going to be on either grandstand.
Oh, that's...
Louis. Or even Ash, you know.
I think it's going to be Louis.
But yeah, I'm going to say Louis.
It's going to be Louis.
Although I think she played on grandstand today.
But who did she play against?
Mira. Anastasia Potapova, exactly.
Yeah, it's gonna be Louis.
So
fifth seed in American, and especially after what happened,
a lot of eyes on that match.
Yeah, Louis, but we'll catch you guys at Louis. Ostapenko, maybe next time you'll be able to go to Louis. Yeah,
I did go to Mira's press actually to literally ask her about her next opponent, and yeah, this is what Mira said.
We've played once before. I think it was in Madrid, first round. was a very tricky, tough match. I think I won 7-5 in the third or something like that. So yeah, that match was tough, and she's a great player. She has a great touch. She's playing great in doubles. She's been, she had an award for becoming number doubles one player in doubles. So yeah, she's been playing great, and I think the match is going to be super interesting, and yeah, I'm looking forward to that match.
So yeah, that was Mira Andreeva talking about the matchup with Taylor. They played each other last year, I think it was. And Mira won in three sets. So basically, yeah, it was a tussle.
Mm.
And she's basically saying, yes, she's ready for another fight in the third round of the US Open, which is going to be, like we said, on one of the big courts.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I cannot wait for that matchup.
Yeah.
Next match now we should talk about. Or to be fair, you know what, Lucy? Let's kind of go back. So my day actually started
with
not watching matches, actually. I was actually at a panel. So today, like we said, it was HBCU Live Day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was a great panel or panel discussion, I should say, organized by the USTA. Sean Holcomb-Jones, shout out. Shout out to Sean and yeah, the guys at the USTA. But it was a brilliant panel. So they had Monica McNutt, who was moderating, who, like, our American listeners would know Monica McNutt. She's an NBA like journalist slash, I think she's a former player, to be fair, but she's a commentator slash broadcaster on First Take quite a lot, giving it to Stephen A, which I love. So yeah, she was moderating the panel, and on the panel it was Leslie Allen, Boris Kodjo, Sloane Stephens, and Kamar Murray. And they were literally just talking about Alfie Gibson's legacy. And literally black tennis, like in America and just in the game in general. And it was really good to hear like their kind of insights and like thoughts kind of on the landscape of like black tennis at the moment. Sloane Stephens kept it real, which I loved. Just talking about like how, yeah, like tennis needs to do a better job of kind of putting players, particularly black players, Coco Gauff, Ben Shelton, Francis Tiafoe, like giving them the opportunities in terms of like advertising, putting them in adverts, saying like, of course, it's great to see, you know, the likes of Taylor Fritz and Irina Sabalenka like in ads like across New York, but
the people don't know that, man.
This is the thing. She said those faces, like, how many people know them compared to a Coco Gauff?
Honestly speaking, it really hit me when that Forbes thing. I wasn't thinking about the money. Because even him, he said it. He's like, bro, really and truly, I should not be on that list because the people that are there are Grand Slam winners and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. Francis Tiafoe being one of the highest paid tennis players, it means it's more of a commercial thing because he's getting most of the money from endorsements, not from like, you know, playing and stuff and tournaments. Yeah. So that just shows you, and that's a black male.
It's huge.
Dude, that is, it's such a big thing. And I know people are probably thinking about, I'm not thinking about the money. I'm just like, wow, like a black man can actually become a face of this sport. Do you get what I mean? So yeah, like, That's the difference between us and them. I feel like a lot of the black players today have a lot more personality and they're a lot more open.
100%.
You know, I feel like a lot of the other players, like, they're great players, but Sinner is number one. Sinner is great, but what can Sinner sell? Yeah. What can Sinner bring to the sport, aside, of course, from his amazing talent?
Kamar Murray kind of said something along those lines as well, like, but he was referring to the Americans, so... And it's no slight to these guys.
100%, like, 100%. So we're just talking about, like, bringing people in, like, you know, just the casuals as well and everything.
You mentioned
Tommy
Paul and, like, Taylor Fritz. Like, I think both of them are ranked higher than Francis Tiafoe.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like you said, personality, marketability, Tiafoe is the guy. Like,
100%.
And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Tennis needs to kind of acknowledge it.
Fam, Taylor Fritz, his girlfriend's even more popular than
Stop
him.
Stop it. Stop it.
Literally, no, I remember last year, the ESPN, he had ESPN, like, how are you following my girl, but you're not following me? That's what I'm saying. Like, so, that's crazy. How is your girlfriend more popular than you, boy?
But
she's great at marketing.
This ties back in, though, with the whole theme of this year's Open in terms of Althea Gibson, 75 years. Like, if there was no Althea Gibson, like we said, there's no Arthur Ashe. There's no Venus and Serena, and they look where we are now. And it's not just an American thing, like as we know,
covering
as Black's been global. We've got Canadians, Victoria Mboko, Felix Auger-Aliassime, Gabriel Diallo, Frenchman, Artifice, Giovanni Pachipericard.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many now, and it's just great to see. And it's that number is only going to keep increasing, Lucy. And I love it.
100%. Absolutely. 100%. 100%. There's a lot of Black kids still coming in, and having more of these Black players being bigger and getting better will inspire more of the younger kids to get into the sport as well. So yeah, shout out to the USTA. I'm so gutted. I was really gutted. Like I was tempted to go.
Everybody was asking, "Where's Lucy? Where's Lucy?" I was like, "Yeah, she's not personal lurgy." Like,
like that's what I'm saying. If you guys don't. Believe me, you're happy that I'm her, because I was like, I'm not trying to pass on anything.
I did meet a listener as well. I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your name. But
we meet quite a few listeners. Shout out to the people that we met.
I met two today, actually. Pleasure meeting both of you. So yeah, you know who you are, and I'm sorry I forgot your name. Like, I've been all over the place today. Yeah, so you're
a one man show.
But yeah, the next match you should talk about, Francis Tiafoe, 17th seed. So he did eventually see off Martin Dam, the qualifier, in four sets, 6-4, 7-5, 6-7, 7-5. Tiafoe played really well, man. Like, looked pretty comfortable throughout.
He did.
Dam is a he's a talent. I want to say he's 22 or possibly 23. So yeah, fairly young. But yeah, ranked in like the 400s. Massive serve. He's like 6'5". He's a big boy. Big serve.
It's weird because on the screen, he's at 6'8", apparently.
To be fair, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, he's 6'8". Yeah.
And I was looking at his screen, I was like, this guy looks like he's 5'9". Like,
really?
On the screen, on the TV.
Oh, okay.
Because even the commentators were even saying, they were like, he does not look tall. Like, literally, like, on the TV.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, no, on the TV, he does not look that tall at all.
I like his swag as well. Like, he's got like a swag to him, which I liked, like, just watching him, the way he, like, struts around the court. But like I said, massive serve, lefty as well. And I think lefty is always a problem. Like, yeah, because there just aren't that many on tour. But yeah, Francis handled it pretty well. Like, did he have match points in the second set? I don't think he had match points. No, he did have match points in the second set. I can't remember if he did, to be fair. I think he did, because it was a tie
break.
Second
or third?
Third, yeah. Because it was a tie break.
Yeah.
But yeah, credit to Dam. Like he took that set. Mm-hmm. And like I said, coming through qualifying too, like it's been a good run for him. Mm-hmm. Second round. And now, yeah, France has obviously got the win. I did actually, because I wasn't aware or I hadn't heard of Dam before before the match. And I asked Francis in his press, like, basically what it felt like kind of playing, you know, someone who's ranked in the 400s that, you know, wasn't playing like that. And also, yeah, lefty. And this is what Francis said.
Yeah. I mean, he was our Davis Cup hitting partner a few years ago, and he's young, he's up and coming, he's had some injuries. Obviously, you know, his ranking is much better than that for sure. He's just got to get healthy and be able to play, like, full schedule and really go for it. I mean, I thought I played well today. He served great. I mean, especially at the end. I mean, he served great. I had some looks. I mean, he came up with some stuff. Like, it was pretty tough. I mean, but it's tough when a lefty can hit the off serves. When he hit the wide on the deuce and the tee on the ad, it makes it tough. Then you're kind of at their mercy. You don't know where they're going to go. But, you know, he played really well today, and the moment they get to him. So happy to see a young American play that well. Happy also he didn't get me, so it was nice.
So, yeah, I learned something new there. I didn't actually know that he was Francis's hitting partner during a Davis Cup tie. So, again, he obviously would have had, like, kind of, I guess, insight into Dam's game.
Yeah, but to be fair, Francis played, like, really well. Like, that first set, for instance, his first serves were, like, 91%.
Yeah, he's been serving well this this tournament.
Yeah, his unforced error was really low. I think he had zero unforced errors the first set.
Yeah.
The winners were there. Like, he was really comfortable.
I think he didn't get broken as well.
Yeah, he didn't get broken. Yeah, yeah. Like, he was playing, he was honestly just so solid. The only thing that really bothered me, enough to do with Francis, was that I was watching it. Obviously, I'm at home watching the match. We need to watch more matches on mute, man, because some of your commentators are really annoying.
Oh, damn. Yeah, who was commentating?
I do not remember. I don't, to be fair, a lot of times, that's how much I don't like listening to commentators.
Everything on mute.
I just find it so interesting how this guy plays a clean match, not on false errors, as I said. 91% first serves win, not broken, everything. And you still have a commentator mentioning, like, oh, he's, like, his focus and stuff. Like, oh, yeah, you see, you know, sometimes, like, he lacks focus. So like, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Not the concentration police. God. I thought we were over that, man.
But this is what I'm saying. If he's playing bad, then I can understand. But I just find it interesting that even when he's playing his best tennis, they still bring that up. And I would love to ask Francis how he feels about that. But I don't think I'll ever ask him at a press, though. I think that's something I would ask him.
We need to do that, exactly, really, when he's on us.
Because it's just like, he's literally washing this guy and you're still trying to, like, it's like they were trying to find an issue with he was playing such a clean match. But again, the good thing about counting people out is that when they start popping out and they start doing the madness, it's like, oh shit, okay.
I also think too, it's always difficult, like, when you're playing a big server, because you're not going to get many looks. And like, to Francis's credit, he stuck with it.
Yeah.
And eventually you kind of knew, or you've expected him to, you know, win, and he did. But I do think it is that we don't understand or give players enough credit sometimes for just being able to hang in there with a big server. Because it's like, you've got to be patient, basically.
Sure.
And like, bide your time, kind of. And that's what Francis did. So yeah, like, I was happy to see him pull through. I love who he's got next, Lucy.
Who's he got next?
So it was either going to be Holger Rune, who's the 11th seed.
He got knocked out.
Or qualifier, Jan-Lennard Struff.
Struff?
It's Jan-Lennard Struff.
Struff is a qualifier?
Yes. He came through qualifying this year.
What?
Yes. I'm just confirming that, guys. Jan-Lennard Struff, the German qualifier.
Oh, I didn't. I'm just more surprised that he's come from qualifying.
It's Francis Tiafoe's next opponent. So he upset Holger Rune in five sets. So that's going to be a very interesting
encounter.
That's going to
be an interesting match.
And I'm grateful that it's not Rune, because that would have been a battle, like a scrap. They played each other.
I actually feel like either of his opponents are going to be a tough one for Francis.
No, I mean, Struff is no slouch.
I think either of them. I think even more Struff than Rune, because Rune has been very up and down this season. Like, he's had his highs and his lows and highs. Like,
the last time he played was Cincinnati, and obviously Francis withdrew from that match. That's when
exactly,
he retired.
Yeah.
But I thought, wow, we're already playing seeds, but it's the third round now, so seeds now meet.
It's starting to go too quick.
Exactly. Ew. It feels too soon.
Slow it down.
It feels too soon. But the last time they played, as in Struff and Tiafoe, was Stuttgart, which was the final that Tiafoe won in 2023. So that was on grass. Obviously, this is now hard. But yeah, I like the matchup for Francis. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes, and that will be. I'm gonna say that's gonna be on Louis, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Next match, so night session now.
Paolini,
Jazzy Paolini,
breeze through. Jazzy Paolini right now is making headlines with that picture The ghost picture.
Oh, yeah, with the racket.
So sick. Shout out to that photographer, man.
Did you see that?
She's a real one. She's so sweet. Nice. No. That picture is so sick. It's actually so sick. I hope Yonex are actually going to pay him. And it's Yonex, right?
I hope
if they pay him properly and use that as an ad, that would be so sick. But yeah, that was a very sick picture.
So Paolini, she took out Iva Jovic, the teenager. I think she's 17, American, 6'3", 6'3".
Another comfortable win.
Very, very comfortable win for.
It's going to make it second week, and you guys are again going to be like, "How come?
Stop it." But yeah, she again. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't watching a lot of the match.
I was in and out because I
was in and out of press conferences. Like, yeah. Basically running around. But from what I saw, she looked very comfortable. I did see the end of it because I got there pretty much for the end. So I saw the last game pretty much. And she broke Jovic to win the match. But I think just her level this year. Because I posted how this is only her sixth US Open. Mm. Last year was the first time she'd made it past second round, I think.
Yeah.
So she just seems like just a much more complete player. Like, mm-hmm. And it's just, I love that for her, man, honestly.
Yeah.
Going to her press, I did ask her about, well, playing at night because it was her second night match in a row. She started on Sunday at night as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is what she said.
I don't know. I like it because of the outfit. No, I mean, I like at seven. It's good, you know, better than the second one. So I knew already the conditions. Last year I played, I think, at the same time as well, the first round. And the atmosphere, it's really nice. So I like it.
Do you know who you're playing next?
Yes.
Thoughts on Vondrousova?
Yes, Vondrousova.
What are your thoughts?
I think she played really well, an amazing tennis, amazing hands, and it's going to be a tough one. Grand Slam champion as well, so it's not easy to play against her, lefty player. But we're going to prepare the match. I know we have to raise the level, raise the focus. To make a good match.
So off the back of that, obviously I did follow up with her next opponent, who she was aware of, is Markéta Vondrousova. Obviously she spoke, you know, respectfully about her, obviously former Wimbledon champion. That she just seems really confident, man. I love that for her. She did confirm the dress is a night dress.
It's a night dress, yeah.
Which we were kind of speculating, is it, yeah. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She likes playing at night. And also, I think for me, Lucy, too, I think night session matches are for players that are going to, like, sell tickets.
Mm.
Jasmine Paolini is now, she falls into that category. Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People want to watch Jasmine Paolini.
For sure.
And I love that for her, like, at Grand Slams. Like, it's big.
Yeah.
It's very,
yeah.
very big.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to that next matchup with Markéta Vondrousova, who actually upset. I think it was McCartney Kessler, who was a seed.
Okay.
32nd seed. So, mm-hmm. Obviously, Van Drusen is a Grand Slam champ. So, that's not going to be easy. But, look forward to seeing how that one goes.
Mm.
And then, literally, after Paolini, Ben Shelton, 6th seed. He followed on Louis Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Took out Pablo Carreño Busta in straight sets. 6-4, 6-2, 6-4. Again, looks so comfortable. Like, I think the more I watch Ben Shelton, the more I'm like, this guy, the real deal, man.
Mm-hmm. It was clean. Like, he broke first, literally at the beginning of every set. He was looking so good. His court coverage, my guy was hitting the ball there, and Ben literally hit every single one. And he would hit an incredible win out of the air. Like, it's absolutely insane. He's so locked in. He's playing so well. He's just such a great watch. Like, that's the thing. He's actually a very good player. So when people are out here talking about, he's arrogant, he's this. You know what? If Ben Shelton is arrogant today, why not?
Kind of justified. It's justified.
Why not? Why actually not? If I'm covering the court like that and I'm serving like that, you know what? Too. I will be extremely arrogant because what the hell can you tell me? I've been here for like, what, 2-3 years and I'm already whipping all of you guys' asses. Some of you have been here for 20 years, including his opponent, respectfully, of course, because his opponent was actually been in and out of injuries and stuff.
He's had
a tough time. But I'm just saying in general, just in general, it's like, you guys have been here for 10 years. You can't even do half of the things that I've done. So, yeah. If he wants to be arrogant, which he's not, he can. But he's not. He's well-raised. A lot of class and educated.
Oh, my word. I love that. That should be the title of this podcast.
Class and educated.
Classy and educated.
Oh, gosh.
But no, yeah, Shelton, man. Just a talent. Super, super talent. I think what I love, watching him recently anyway, or this season, the way he's like just winning matches he should be winning, like just with ease.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like that's kind of happened, I'd say, like towards the middle of the year. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, Toronto is an incredible run.
Yeah.
But he's carried that on now at the US Open.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, just so focused and like locked in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So his next opponent is going to be Adrien Mannarino, the Frenchman, a fellow lefty. I did want to ask, actually, how...
Sorry, I'm just going to cut you off. Do you know Shelton's on his way to... Oh, no, sorry. Why does it say that? I'm getting a message now saying that Shelton's on his way to press, but he actually did do press. Yeah, Maybe there's a typo. Sorry, excuse me.
That's crazy.
I know.
Your phone's tweaking.
Yeah. it's also tired.
But yeah, what was I saying? I forgot what I was saying now.
Sorry, that you were saying his next opponent is...
That's it. Adrien Mannarino, Frenchman, fellow lefty.
Oh, he's got this.
They actually played in Australia last year and Mannarino beat him. But the last time they played was Toronto this year. We all know what happened.
Yeah.
So is that an omen? me and omens. We'll see. But I asked, because like I said, Ben Shelton, the way he kind of manages matches, I feel like it's been very impressive. And I asked him about that in press, and this is what he said.
Yeah, I think creating a lot more chances to break just with the way that I'm returning and how comfortable I am deeper in rallies, it makes it easier. You know, I don't have to be perfect with the high-end, ultra-aggressive tennis, which at the end of the day, later in the tournament, is what I'll need more of. But I feel like my base level has improved and my... you know, lockdown mode has gotten a lot better and I'm able to go there when I need to. And that's where a lot of my breaks do come from. So I think not having to play flashy tennis all the time has kind of helped me. Maybe it's made it a little bit more boring for the crowd, but got me off the court quicker and more efficiently, for sure.
Yeah, so to kind of go back to the whole, say, arrogance thing, like he knows he's improving, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I guess, yeah, month after month, as you should, like as a pro.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I like how he said how his base level is, you know, it's pretty high, like, which is the truth, because he's, yeah, sixth seed here, top six player in the world. Like, you would expect that. So, yeah, confidence is high.
Mm-hmm.
And quite rightly so.
Exactly.
And yeah, I like the matchup with Mannarino. Yeah. So I'm going to say more of the same, or more of what we saw in Toronto, just followed on. And yeah, Lucy, that literally wraps up today's play, or day four's play anyway.
Yeah.
Day five, we've got a bit of a bumper day on day five.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're not going to be on the grounds like super early. So our first match is actually second on Louis Armstrong, which is match of the day, I'd say.
Match of the day for sure.
Yeah, Naomi Osaka, 23rd seed.
For sure.
Against Hayley Baptiste.
Yes.
I think that's going to be an absolute classic.
You need to give. Who do you think is going to win the match?
I think it's going to be an upset. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm actually feeling the same.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an upset.
I'm feeling the same, which I did not. Like, I actually thought I'd be that type, but I watched both of their matches.
I think it's going to be three sets.
I think it's going to be three sets. I think if Hayley puts the nerves away,
yeah,
scary hours for Osaka. I'm not going to lie.
But we'll see. It's one of those. It's one of those ones as well. We whoever wins,
but it's also the same with Osaka. If she puts her nerves away,
yeah,
scary hours for Baptiste. Like, yeah. But it's either way, guys. Watch that match, man. Second on Louis.
I'm kind of glad it's not a night match as well. Like,
I was more concerned of the court. I wanted it to be a night match.
Oh, really?
But my number one thing was like, make sure that it's on Louis or Ash.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer the fact that it's even Louis, because Louis is my favorite stadium at the US Open. The vibe is great. More, even people who don't have tickets can just be at the top.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
We do have doubles as well starting tomorrow too, which we'll come on to in a bit. But singles, so Gabriel Diallo, he's also in action. So he'll play Jaume Munar. And that's third on court 17.
Get our lick back. Oh, boy.
Félix Auger-Aliassime, he's back in action as well. So he'll play Romain Safulin, who obviously beat Yao Monfils in the previous round. That match is last on court 5. So that's potentially going to be a late one for us. And then, yeah, Coco Gauff is also back in action. So she'll take on Donna Vekic. And that's the first night match on Ash.
Another night match.
So, yeah.
You guys are setting my girl up.
I think that's going to be another bump. Well, I say bumper. Yeah, that's going to be. Has that got three sets written all over it?
Oh, yeah. Three set. Coco's mom looking stressed.
Honestly, because we didn't go to Coco's press yesterday. I did watch her press conference today, and I liked what she was saying about how the serve, like she switched up the motion, and she said the reason why, like, she wasn't hitting the ball as big was because of that, because she was more focused on the new motion. And I think she deserves a lot of credit.
We've been saying it for long, man.
Doing that literally midway through a season, and
a grand slam.
Exactly, it's pretty crazy.
That's how you know she's a real ass player. Other people are just yapping.
So yeah, man, more power to Coco. I do expect her to beat Vekic though.
I expect to beat her. I just think it's gonna be a battle.
Yeah, and then doubles, like I said. So Venus Williams partnering up with Leila Fernandez. And they'll play Hitchinock and Perez, who I think are the fifth or sixth seeds in the women's doubles draw. So that's on grandstand. So that's going to be, you can probably imagine it's going to be pretty, pretty busy. So yeah, guys, that wraps up our day 4 pod. Lucy,
wait, is that day 4? Is that day 5?
Tomorrow is day 5.
And that's all we have?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Aww. Second round now, like, yeah.
I don't want to go.
And you missed the day.
And I missed the day.
Big Mr. Lucy, shout out to you though, man. Honestly.
Thank you.
Because right now it's 2 o'clock in the morning and we're
podding. It is, and we're podding.
What the hell?
I'm going to take my chamomile tea and back to sleep. And we'll get this pod out. So yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Eugene, for holding it down the gang.
Don't think
you can come and tell me as well. I'm taking a day off, you know. No.
I'm over the day in lieu.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for understanding as well, guys. The comments have been really dope.
And really sweet. Everyone's looking out for you on the comments as well, man. Saying, oh, Lucy, get well soon.
I'm coming back stronger for you guys, man. One more sleep and I'm back. But yeah, massive thank you. Make sure you keep on tuning in, liking, sharing, rating, guys. That will help us so much. Get merch, get everything. If not, keep on enjoying the show. And we'll catch you at day 5 at US Open.
Take care, guys.